All right. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHBC. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, doing this every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6. And I'm lucky enough to have my lovely wife and co-host.
I am here.
With me as well. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, on Wednesdays, we've been working our way through two album lists for ages now. Although we did do something a little bit different last week. We were able to do like a live interview show with the group Bad Mary, including our very own Bill McIntyre here at WHPC, who plays drums for the group. And that was a huge amount of fun. So I hope you had a chance to catch that. If you did miss it and you wish you heard it, you can pick it up on our website. Just go to AmericanHitNetwork.com and you can find the entire interview there at the website. It's on the homepage, so I think you'll see it very easily. By the way, I mean, every one of these shows are eventually go up on our website, AmericanHitNetwork.com. So if you're interested in picking up on some of the albums that we covered in the past few years and thinking that maybe that actually you could just like sort of scan through them and find the ones that you'd be most interested in, please help yourself. That's what they're there for. But today, we find ourselves, as we're working our way through this countdown, up to November of 1972. It's a debut album that reached number 17. So yes, this is part of our top 500 of the top 40 lists, as opposed to the alternative top 40 list, which is another thing entirely. We'll be getting there soon enough, I suppose.
Not to be confused.
Right. The band is Steely Dan, and it's their debut album, Can't Buy a Thrill.
But if you buy the album, you could.
Yeah, you could buy a thrill. It's funny because the album cover itself has like a whole bunch of like, I guess, sex workers featured on the cover.
And which they are actually going to decriminalize now, I hear.
Yeah. And the title more or less plays against what the cover represents because it's called Can't Buy a Thrill. And yet that's pretty much exactly what the cover is trying to represent. That is for sale. With what the cover's implying anyway. Now, Steely Dan may not have changed the direction of rock and roll. God bless you, Heidi, by the way. I'm sorry. Steely Dan did not change the direction of rock and roll with their debut album, but they certainly had a huge influence on the way that it sounded from this point forward. Can't Buy a Thrill marked a new high point in instrumental finesse, perfect production technique, and an attention to detail on just about every level. None of the progressive bands who were around up until this point in time could brag such exquisite production. No high-end superstar rock and roll band could claim the same attention to detail in their arrangements, and no songwriter on the planet Earth could claim to be more obsequious than Steely Dan. They would eventually set off a love 'em or hate 'em scenario. There's no doubt about that, especially as a counter movement began to foment, as it always does. And you had like the punk pushback thing for what classic rock was about. But with their debut album, there really was nothing here to hate. They were an astoundingly accomplished pop band who wrote a full album of awesome songs that would take decades to interpret and or entangle, and most music fans found the prospect not only interesting, but intriguing, if not outright challenging. Little did we know that this album was just the beginning. So, let's kick it off then. The album itself starts with a song that was one of the biggest singles that the band ever released. It was called Do It Again. It was a top 10 single, went to number 6. I guess you could call the rhythm sort of a funky mambo rock beat sort of a thing.
Okay.
It's in typical form. The lyrics are very, very clever. Basically, in terms of, I always interpret it as about a ne'er-do-well who basically always manages to screw up. And no matter what happens, you just go back, Jack, and you do it again over and over on 90.3 WHPC. Here's Steely Dan. one thing that I can say that with almost total certainty is about just about every song on this album is that they've all aged incredibly well. They haven't gotten old. And this album is 50 years old, literally by the month. I mean, November 1972.
Incredible.
And it does not sound like that did not sound like a 50-year-old song. It's rather, the whole album is like that. It's incredible. This goes back to a time when Steely Dan were actually a band. I think that after a while, we got very used to the idea that Steely Dan was just the two songwriters, Walter Becker and Donald Fagen, with Donald Fagen doing all of the vocals. But at this point in time, that's not the case. In fact, I think that Fagen was a little bit insecure about being the lead vocalist at first. He had to be convinced that it was a good role for him. Although he does sing the majority of the songs on this album, they did hire a singer named David Palmer to sing lead, although Palmer on the album ended up only singing lead on two tracks with some harmonies and such elsewhere, which is rather surprising. But there was a full band. They had Jim Hodder was the band's drummer, also sang lead on a track, played all the percussion. I think he was responsible for all the percussion on, to give you that mambo feel on Do It Again. Walter Becker played bass and some backing vocals. Denny Diaz was one of two guitar players who also, he was responsible for playing the electric sitar solo that we had just heard. And I guess at that point in time, electric sitar was a not uncommon thing, but it was used very in a very unique and original way, I think, on that track. Jeff Skunk Baxter was the guitar player, played pedal steel as well. And of course, I mean, you know, Donald Fagen played the keyboard. That was him who was playing the solo with a weird pitch bending sound on the last track. Donald playing the keyboard. And as I mentioned, David Palmer just doing some of the lead vocals. After this track was released as a single, another song that got a tremendous amount of airplay, but not a hit, because I don't think it was a single, is the song Dirty Work, which was one of the songs that feature David Palmer on lead vocal. I think a lot of people sometimes forget that it's a Steely Dan song because everybody is so used to hearing Donald Fagen's voice that when it's a different voice, it's not necessarily equated to be Steely Dan. But this is a song about a guy having an affair with a married woman and feeling pretty stupid about it. You can actually read into the words on this album a little bit easier than on some of the later Steely Dan albums, that's for sure. The song is called Dirty Work, 90.3 WHPC.
No more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah.
Dirty Work, a song that got an awful lot of airplay, despite the fact that it wasn't a single here in the United States. As I said, sung...
I had no idea.
No idea what?
That was about an affair.
Really?
I guess I'm just not a big fan of theirs,
never,
so...
Right, never listened to it. Yeah. That's just, it was very easy for that to go by.
I just thought that it was someone that who wasn't having a good relationship with, or someone who was being usurious.
Yeah, I think that's what makes the song work so well, is with David Palmer, has such a sweet voice, but the words are a little bit, like, pointed. So it sounds like, well, this character is, like, almost out of his pram or whatever, you know? He's, like, he's in over his head, and you can tell that he's over his head because he sounds like he's, like, almost, like, got this sweet and innocent tone, and yet he's basically saying, you know, I'm a fool to do your dirty work. I don't want to do your dirty work no more, you know? Mad at himself. Sort of a situation. The whole album, Camp by a Thrill, was recorded in Los Angeles at Village Recorders, and obviously released with the 10 tracks that were on it. There was a couple of extra tracks that were recorded that eventually did get released. Actually, they were left off the album and released as a single that predated the album that didn't chart. The A-side was Dallas, a song called Dallas, which was eventually covered by Poco. I know that that's a fact because I remember hearing it on their album. And the B-side was called Sail the Waterway. Some of those songs are now available on the various box sets and things that the band put out. And they're worth hearing. If you're a fan of Steely Dan, they're worth hearing. Although you can hear that there was more effort and production work put into the songs that actually did make the album. Speaking of which... We'll play this. So there's an awful lot of allusion to New York on the album. And I'm not sure if this is deliberate or not, but this track is called Kings on 90.3 WHBC.
Raise up! Yeah, everybody analyzes Steely Dan lyrics, and I know that there's like some school of thought that thinks that the Richard and the John are Presidents Kennedy and Nixon.
Ah.
Which I guess it's possible, but it seems much more likely to me that they're talking about, you know, Magna Carta, Richard the Lionhearted, who was basically, after he passed, it was his younger brother, I think it was, John, who took over. And Richard the Lionhearted was a very strong, powerful king. Well, John was actually weak. But it didn't really matter. The people got screwed either way. And I think that that's more or less what they're trying to convey. Most of Steely Dan, you're going to find that the lyrics are always either sardonic or pretty much about repression, or basically things not really being what they seem or working out the way that you would expect them to. It gives the songs lots of layers in that regard. The next track up is the song that is sung by the drummer, Jim Hodder. Got a great voice, so it kind of makes sense. And this is another song that I always thought of as a single. This album is just basically full of songs that I feel, you know, should have been, could have, should have, would have been singles, we could say. It's called Midnight Cruiser on 90.3 WHPC.
My old friend, step on in and let me shake your hand. So glad that you're here again. For one more time, let your madness run with mine. Streets still unseen, we'll find somehow. No time is better than now. Tell me, where are you driving? Midnight cruiser, where is your bounty of fortune and fame? I am another gentleman loser. Drive me to Harlem or somewhere the same.
What a stunning piece of work that is. I mean, really, how does that song, what is it lacking in? You know, what does it not have that's like a great quality? It's got a fabulous melody in the chorus. The production is stunning. The guitar solo, that harmony guitar solo is gorgeous. You know, just great work. And the lyrics are intriguing. I always heard that as about basically post-college ennui setting in, like you think you're going to live forever and that you're timeless, hanging with your friends, and then all of a sudden you look over your shoulder and it seems as if it's all gone.
Time to get a job, kids.
Yeah, so, or basically, hey, we're no longer king of the hill. You know, what happened? Ah, just a wonderful piece of work. Side one ends with a song called Only a Fool Would Say That. You might remember that the band Ivy covered this. Ivy did a good version of it. And again, this is another thing, like basically Becker and Fagen making comments probably about other people who have said things, especially probably in the 60s when there was a tremendous amount of idealism and everybody was basically thinking that everything would be solved with flowers and love. It sounds like this song is pretty much critical of the counterculture. Some people said that it was directly aimed at John Lennon. That might be a bit much, but it's interesting to basically hear how they're coming off as being a bit snide, actually, toward whoever it is that they're aiming their wit at. On 90.3 WHPC, Only a Fool Would Say That.
Become one of salads and sun. Only a fool would say that. A boy with a plan, a natural man, wearing a white Stetson hat. On hand that got me gone, there's no one to fire upon. If he's holding it high, you talking about a world where all is free. It just couldn't be, and only a fool would say that. The man in the street, dragging his feet, don't wanna hear the bad news. Imagine your face there in his place, standing inside his brown shoes.
Would say that.
And that would complete side one. The guitar work between Denny Diaz and Jeff Skunk Baxter. I think that they were probably two of the most talented guitar players to be in the same band at the same time, at least in recording studios, than almost any other band. And I mean, I know that there's, of course, a lot of people who would say, hey, what about the Allman Brothers and such? But I mean, I don't know. These guys work together so well. And what makes it crazy is that on the next track, they bring in a ringer to record a solo.
What?
It's like, wait a minute. There's so much going on here already. Well, what's happening now is they get Denny Diaz and Jeff Skunk Baxter to play the great crazy riff that drives this song, which is an unbelievable earworm. The band themselves, it's kind of funny, the band was talking about it, and Fagan said that it's dumb, but it's effective. And Becker said it's just no fun. I mean, these guys were so self-critical that it was ridiculous. But the fact of the matter is that the guitar playing is outstanding. And the guitar player who's brought in, the ringer, his name is Elliot Randall. And allegedly, he played this solo in one take. He just did it, put it down, packed up, and said, thanks, see ya. No guitar player, no less more famous and lauded than Jimmy Page, who I consider to be the riff god of the universe, rates this guitar solo as his favorite solo of all time by anybody.
But did he play it?
I don't know if he could. The point is that he didn't, you know?
Uh-huh.
He rated it on a scale of 1 to 10. He rated it 12.
Wow.
So, yeah, Jimmy Page, you know, gets it. And if anybody's going to get it, he's the guy. Listen to the guitar work. And I mean everybody, including the stuff that's going on in the background underneath the solo, because this is just the guitar player's paradise. It's called Reelin' in the Years on 90.3 WHPC.
Summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years?
I still don't know what you mean. The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time? Have you had enough of mine? Out of time. The trip we made to Hollywood is etched upon my mind.
After all the things we've done and seen, you find another man. The things you think are useless, I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years? Sowing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years? Sowing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine?
I don't even want to talk over the fade out. It's like it's a song that I almost worship.
I wonder how long that bit actually went on, that they just faded it out.
I mean, it just sounds like that was such a hot take. Good question. I would have loved to heard what happened.
I bet you that exists somewhere.
Yeah, of course it does. The master tapes must have it. Wow. All right, we're playing our way through the album, Can't Buy a Thrill. We just started side two, so let's play. We'll play two back to back. We'll play Fire in the Hole. Fire in the Hole is basically a reference. That was I don't know if it was part of what was going on in World War II. I know it was a big expression in Vietnam era about basically when you're trying to basically clear something and you throw fire in the hole, you tell everybody back away. But it was also, it's interesting that they use the phrase here because
it's an explosion thing.
Yeah. I think here, though, it's basically also about basically all the people that were trying to not go to Vietnam and their excuses for getting out of it. And we'll follow that into, like I said, the real reference to New York, Brooklyn, owes the charmer under me. We'll play them back to back on 90.3 WHPC.
I decline to walk the line. They tell me that I'm lazy. Worldly wise, I realize that everybody's crazy. A woman's voice reminds me to serve and not to speak. Am I myself or just another freak? You know there's fire in the hole and nothing left to burn. I'd love to run out now. There's no way left to turn. No, no. With a cough, I shake it off and walk around my yellow stride. Should I hide or eat my pride or wait until it's good and ripe? My life is boiling over. It's happened once before. I wish someone would open up the door. Don't you know there's fire in the hole and nothing left to burn? I'd love to run out now. There's no way left to turn. Thank you.
Played on both of the tracks we just heard by Skunk Baxter, Fire in the Hole in Brooklyn. It's pedal steel played in two very distinctly different ways, which is very cool. They got two tracks left. We'll play them both back to back and let them let the songs ride out. But I want to bring up the next track, Change of the Guard, in particular for you to pay attention. We were talking about how Reelin' in the Years was like a guitar player's like dream come true. I say this next song is a great comparison. Skunk Baxter basically proves that he could have done anything that he wanted to do if it was left to him. And Denny Diaz proves it in his own way as well. But the solo on Change of the Guard is beyond magnificent. And we'll just let that segue into Turn That Heartbeat Over Again. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you on Friday and, of course, next Wednesday at 5. Be well.
Motion in the music and the vibe beneath. stocking face. I bought a gun. The plan was set. The plan was done. Looked at my watch and started for the door.
Now the food here ain't so good no more.
And they closed the package store. Love your mama. Love your brother. Love them till they run for cover. Turn the light on, keep your shirt on, cry a jag on me.
Oh Michael, oh Jesus, you know I'm not to blame. You know my reputation for playing a good clean game. Oh Michael, oh Jesus, I'll keep my promise when you turn that heartbeat over again.
My poison's name, you know my brand, so please make mine a double.
Playing a good, clean game. Oh, Michael.